No, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4. And as Brother Doug read some of those letters and some of the prayer requests, I could see where the Lord kind of directed me into this this message this evening. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we'll be preaching or teaching from verses 1 through 7. 1 through 7. When you get there, say amen. 2 Kings chapter 4. It's in the Old Testament. So I heard a pretty good amount of amens there, so we're going to go ahead and get started. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your love. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand and preach the Word of God. We thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. But Father, help us this evening, dear Lord, teach exactly what you'd have us teach from the Word of God. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. I'm going to title this message, "There is Hope at the End of Your Rope." There is hope at the end of your rope. You know, sometimes we have good days. Some days we have bad days. Amen. We face problems every day. It could be with the finances we have as we get older. It could be our health as we get older. It could be with our children. It could be with our government situations. But every day we feel trapped, and sometimes we just feel like we're at the end of our rope. Amen. And here we are in this scripture here. A lady was at the end of her rope. Sometimes we say, "Oh, exactly what is going on? Where can I turn? Who can I talk to?" And this lady right here was in a situation that, as I read down through verse 1, that there's many things in there that we see that she was facing. But my friends, tonight I like to say, when you get to the end of your rope, there is still hope. And that hope is not in me as a preacher, although I might be able to help you. That hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is hope is in God. And that's the only real hope we have today. And that's the only real hope she had. And she had a problem here. And she had a situation that she had to face. And she had a situation she was very concerned about. And as I teach this evening, I'd like to just point out a few things as we go down through the scriptures here. As I read in verse 1, the first thing we're going to see is that God knows her problem. God knows her problems. In verse number 1, we see there was despair in her family. In verse 1, it says, "And now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet." May I say to you today, here was a lady that did not give her name. But each one of us this evening could put our name in that position. I know it says a certain woman, but we men could say a certain man. And it says here, it says, "And she cried." There was a cry. And that cry, may I say to you this evening, that cry was a sound of a broken heart. Every one of us in here at one time or another had a broken heart. Amen. Sometimes as we talked, as Brother Doug asked about different people, everybody said, "It's good, this is good." As he read through those letters, there were some situations very concerned. May I say that there were some tears shed somewhere this week. There were some tears shed in our homes, possibly. There were some tears shed in the mission field. But there were some tears shed by this lady right here. She was there was despair in her home. She came to the man of God and she told him, him. She said, look at here. She said, I'm at the lowest point of my life. I do not know which way to turn. I do not know where to go. I don't know who to talk to. Hey, she said, there's some things that's taking place in my home, and I'm very concerned. There was despair in the family, amen? But also in verse 1, there was death in her family. In verse 1, it says, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Here was somebody that she had been married to. Here was somebody that no doubt that had taken care of her. Here was somebody that was her friend. Here's somebody that was her lover, her provider. But all of a sudden, something happened here and that he died. And there was no finances coming into the house no more. Most of us, as I look around in here tonight, most of us are probably at retirement age. And sometimes it gets a little bit hard at the end of the month when there's more of a month left than there is the finances. But this lady right here, she had no income coming in, and she didn't know which way to turn. And we see here that as she was broken, as she was crying, as she realized there was some death, that she needed some help. Men and women today, every one of us need help. You say, well, I walk close with God. Sometimes that walk could be mighty dim sometimes. I remember about Peter. Peter walked close with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a few times he walked a far way off. Amen. All of a sudden, he got a far way off. But this lady here, there was a problem. And then we see here, there was a debt in her family. In verse number 1 again, it says, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. At the time that this was written, if somebody owed some money, they could bond themselves out to somebody and say, I will work for you for so long. And understand, the law was every 7 years, everybody was let go and was released. But let's say you were bonded out to work for somebody, you had to stay there 7 years. She had no money to pay. There were some people coming to get her two boys. You say, well, that doesn't happen. May I tell you, when I was in the military in the early 70s, I was overseas, and there were situations where we had to go into the jailhouses. One time I was on short patrol in Istanbul, Turkey, and had to go in there and feed some GIs in there. And once they got locked up, it was up to the American government to feed them over there and supply their clothing and supply their blankets. But one time I went in there, and there were some young kids in there. And I asked the people, I said, what's some young kids doing in here? Are they the kids of the guards here? They said, no, those kids aren't really kids as you're talking about. They're teenagers. They're 18 to 24 years old, and their parents couldn't pay a bill, and they're in here, and they're working it off, and they're going to stay here until that bill's paid off. And that's what this lady was concerned. Get with me now. That's what this lady was concerned about. They were coming after her son. I've got a boy. I'd hate for somebody to come after my boy. Some of y'all got boys, you'd hate for them to come after your boys. But she was very concerned. The creditors was coming after. There was debt in the family. The husband had died, and she couldn't pay her bill. The creditors was coming. It was allowed according to Leviticus 25:39. But she had lost her husband and had no money. And now she was worried. She was worried her boys was going to be taken away from her. And not only was her boys probably going to be taken away from her, but her home was probably going to be taken away from her. Not only was her home, maybe she had a couple camels, or maybe she had a couple cows. I don't know what they had over there. Maybe she was getting ready to lose that. She was going to lose everything she had. But she was in a situation that there was a problem here. There was debt in the family. But one thing I can honestly say to you this evening, as I read down through verse 1, there was devotion in her family. It says in verse 1, thy servant did fear the Lord. It doesn't matter what we go through, folks. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're going to go through tomorrow. The Lord is with you. Amen. You say, well, why? How you know that? Well, if you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, hey, he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, when Jesus went back to the heaven, he prayed to the Father for another comforter. That comforter today lives down inside every believer. It doesn't matter where you go, that comforter's there with you. You say, well, what is a comforter? I don't know. Some of y'all are just as old as I am, but I can remember my grandmama. I can remember my mama. That she'd take those material or cloth or that string and that sew and knit and make a blanket as a comforter. And you could take that comforter, and all of a sudden you could wrap it. You'd be cold, and you wrap that comforter up around you, and boy, you'd be so warm. You'd be secure. And that's the way it is when the Lord sent the Holy Spirit back by. He sent the comforter back. It lives inside you, and the Bible says that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. It's good to know. I might leave you. Brother Doug might leave you. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to leave you. Amen. And here this lady was in her home. There was devotion in her home. Everything was falling apart. They were getting ready to get her kids. There was her husband's already dead. There was no money. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God of all glory, was already right there with them. Amen. 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 It's good to have God in our home, ain't it? It's good to have the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, isn't it? When everything falls apart, you don't know which way to turn. Your friends can't help you. Hey, she didn't turn. She didn't turn to her neighbors. Amen? She didn't turn to her friends. They couldn't help her at this point. But she turned to the Lord. Amen? That's what we need to do today. We don't need to worry about, I believe it's important to worry about the politics. I think it's important to worry about who's going to be elected. I think we need to vote. But it's important to know that our Lord is in charge of everything. Amen. He already knows come November who's going to be there. He already knows when we're going to breathe our last breath. He already knew what this lady was going to need. And she was going to need some help. She was going to need some help. But not only in verse 1 do we see that God knows her problem, but we see that God releases her potential. We see here in verse number 2 how God decreased her faith in herself. Look at verse number 2. It says, and Elijah, the man of God here, said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what have thou in the house? Hey, here Elijah was. He said, look at here. He said, I want you to understand something. There is something that you've got that will help you out. There is something that you have in this home that will help you out. And it says, she said, thy handmaid had not anything in the house. What's it say there? Save a pot of oil. Pot of oil. But here she was. She had to decrease her faith in herself so she could start looking toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. She started looking to God. Amen. And here it was. The two questions. The question was for her to realize the size of her need. She had a big need, didn't she? And the smallness of her own resources. She didn't have much, did she? Just a little pot of oil. You know, we might not have a whole lot in this world, but we got a whole lot over the other side. Amen. We might not have a whole lot that we could line up with all the big wheels of stuff, but we serve a great God. Amen. Here she was. She needed everything, and she had very little. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? Do you ever feel like when you lay down at your house, and I know some of y'all got children. I got children, sometimes at nighttime, that phone call come in, and one of the kids will say, and they don't normally talk to me, they talk to my wife. I don't know why unless it's a mother's instinct. I really. It was the same way when I was growing up. I always went to my mama, amen? I always went to my mama. But my kids would call at nighttime, and they say, whatever it is. And I asked Nancy later on, I said, Nancy, who was that? They said, Ricky. Anna. What do they need? Oh, nothing. I said, Mama, come on now. Come on, Mama. What do they need? Honey, you know that they ain't got no money to pay their bill. Honey, they ain't got no money to get their medicine out of CVS. And those calls would come in at nighttime, and we'll say, well, we ain't got much, but God's been good to us. We got just a little bit to reach out and give to our children. Here she has. She didn't have much. She needed everything, and she had very little. She could not possibly meet any of her own needs. She needed so much help. And you might be sitting here under my voice today, this evening, and you might say to yourself, well, you know, I got everything I need. I don't need anything else. But you know, there might be a time that thought might not be there no more. There might not be a time when you got everything and you got to rely on somebody other than your friends. God's going to bring us to the place where we can honestly see our needs. You might be there this evening. I don't know. I don't know anybody in here. You don't really know me. But you might have got to the point today that you got right to the point of realizing you can't do it on your own. And you knew there's possibly some help at the church house. Amen. But here was a lady that God wasn't trying to decrease her faith in him. But God was trying to decrease her faith in herself. We are in a situation in America today that we got a lot of pride in our own hearts. We got a lot of pride in our churches that we're afraid to say we need help. You know, when I was growing up, as a young man, you didn't see many young men cry. If I cried, my daddy would scold me. But a little over 30 years ago, I got saved. And my Heavenly Father lets me cry every once in a while when I need something. That old pride's not there. I go to him and say, I need some help. This lady says, I need some help. Some of y'all in here tonight, you need some help. And you go to Pastor Thrower. You go to your friend. But they cannot help you like God could help you. God already knows that heart. He knows what you need and what you're going to need. But we see here that God had to decrease her faith in herself. But also God had to increase her faith in herself. We see here in verse number 2 that God increased her faith personally. Verse number 2 says, about the middle way through, it says, what hast thou in the house? Other words, he was saying, hey, look at here. He said, I believe you got a solution in your house, but it's time for you to realize that in your house there is some hope. There's some things there that could bring you out of your situation where they're going to take your boys. It says, what hast thou in the house? Man, she already had everything she needed. Wouldn't it be wonderful, folks, if something takes place in our home, in our life, rather than running to our neighbors or running to our family, that we take this Bible and open it up and say, God, what you got for me? What you got for me? But all of a sudden, she said here, it says, the last part says, thine handmaid had not any things anything in the house save, come on now, y'all reading along with me? Save a pot of oil. Pot of oil. I mean, her husband probably had that little pot of oil maybe to pour on a sore. Could have been to anoint somebody. Might have been to put on an animal. But that pot of oil was right there at the house. And that's all she said she had. That's all she had. Something minor, something small. It probably sat over in the corner. Don't say how long her husband's been dead. It probably sat over in the corner for a while. And all of a sudden, the man of God said, man, what you got in your house? Hey, he already knew. Hey, I guarantee you, understand, a prophet, God went to the prophet went to the people, and back to God, amen? It was a circle, amen? So no doubt he was already talking to God. Hey, God, this lady over here's got a problem. What is it? Oh, man, she got a pot of oil over there? That pot of oil's going to take care of everything. And I guarantee God does that to us, amen? When we don't think we're going to make it, all of a sudden, we got something small that's going to solve a big problem. But all it says, the house, it was in the house since her husband died, and she had what she needed already. Amen. But it increased her faith. Increased her faith personally. But it goes on a little bit further here. Verse number 3. God increases her faith publicly. Verse number 3 says, then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Hey, can you imagine telling one of your kids to go down the street, get the wagon, I want you to go down the street, and I want you to bring back every empty vessel you got, every pot you got. I guarantee your neighbor's going to think you done lost your mind, amen? That being called, already calling to have you Baker acted, to put you away. They'll roll 14 patrol cars out there to get you, that somebody's going down the street wanting a bunch of empty vessels for some reason. You think maybe they want to plant a tree in them, or maybe they want to feed the dog with them. But they went out and they get all of the empty vessels. As I read this and I studied this years ago, I thought about when I was growing up. You can't do it nowadays. But when I was growing up, I lived in a subdivision. And it was not uncommon for the neighbor to come over there, one of the little kids. And I did it for my family. Get a little cup, run to the neighbor and say, we're out of milk. Can you give us a little bit of milk so we can have cereal? Or, mama sent us over here. We need a couple eggs. We need 2 more eggs. We done cooked 3. We need 2 more eggs. We got 4 people. It was nothing to go knock on the door. Nowadays, you go knock on the door, somebody pull a .38 on you and one think you're robbing them. But I thought about this here, that this lady, she said, what do I do? Publicly, her faith was increased. Not only that, in verses 4 and 5, God increased her faith privately. 4 and 5, and I'm going to try hurrying. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Hey, privately, hey, she had to get in. She had to get, hey, Elijah. He said, man, I ain't going in there with you. You need to get it. You need to go in that room over there. You need to lock that door. You need to shut that door. He said, and I know in his mind what he's saying. He says, now if I go in there and this miracle's going to take place, I already know it's going to take place. He says, if I'm in there with her, she'll come out and say, Elijah did it. Elijah made this oil pour in these vessels. Elijah supplied all this. But he said, look here, I'm going to stand out here. He said, she's going to go in there. She's going to go into her boys. She's going to shut the door. And when the oil starts flowing, she has nothing to say. He said, but the glory be to God. God sent that oil. God delivered that oil. God supplied that oil. Amen. But she said, it says here, it said that privately, and she went in. She went in verse number 4. It says, shall pour out into all those vessels. Now she's in there. She's with her boys, two boys. She's in there by herself, other than her boys. And she's got all them pots in there. I don't know how many pots there was, but I imagine they went all over the subdivision. If they had the internet and the Wi-Fi and all that, they probably would have called some people and said, hey, we need some more pots. We need some more vessels. I'm not sure what's going on, but the man of God says, I want some vessels. I'm going to take care of this. She probably would have got on Facebook and Faceplant and all that other stuff and says, hey, we need this size pot. And they all came in, and she's in that room with them all. But it says here, it says, and shall pour out into all the vessels. Hey, get with me now. Get with me. Get with me. She had that little bitty pot of oil. You with me? Didn't have much in it, probably. It had all them other pots sitting over here. And she's telling Junior, said, Junior, give me that pot. No, Mama, get Big Brother to do it. No, you hand me that pot. The Big Brother would be carrying the full pots out. Little brother, I want you to hand that to Mama. So she takes that pot, and he hands it to her. And she got that little bitty pot, and she pours it, and she pours it. All of a sudden, it's all the way to the top. And she said, Big brother, our big son, come over here and get this pot here. Little son, give me that another pot. And she takes that little one. And understand what's taking place here. As that oil's going out of that little pot, as that oil's being emptied out of that little pot, that air's going in that little pot. But what's happening, that air is being turned into oil. That air is being turned into oil. And that little pot is never being empty. It's being filled. It's going into more pots. It's going into more pots. All of a sudden, privately in that room, I could hear the lady shouting, woo, man, we got a full. We got all these pots full. Everything is being full. You say, well, preacher, what's taking place? God is doing another miracle. Amen. God is doing another miracle. Reminds me of the story. This man driving down the road and he gets pulled over. He's weaving just a little bit. And the cops pull him over. And so the man says, you're weaving a little bit. He says, no, he's not really. Cop says, you've been drinking? He said, no, not really. He said, well, let me see that jug you got over there. He gets that jug and gives it to the police officer. The police officer smells it. He says, oh, man, he said, that smells like wine there. And the guy said, oh, America, God did another miracle again, amen? And that's what's taking place here. God's doing a miracle. He's taking them pots. He's not filling with wine. He's filling with oil. He's taking that oil and topping off each one of them. And the boys keep bringing it. The boys keep bringing it. And she kept pouring it out in verse 5. And all of a sudden, God is willing to continue filling those vases and those vessels and those pots as long as her faith was there. When we got faith, God's willing to bring us through. Some of us are at the end of our ropes. This lady was at the end of her ropes. But she poured out and they were filled. But not only do we see her problems, not only see that God releases her potential, but we see God gives for her provision. We see in 4 or 5 here, we see the lesson of God's provision here. In verse 4, it said, thou shalt set aside that which is full. Hey, here's a lesson of God's provision. You say, Brother Rick, what are you talking about here? I'm talking about Elijah told her, said, go in that room there and fill those pots. God had already decided he was going to help this lady. And he already said through Elijah, and Elijah said in verse number 4 there, thou shalt set aside that which is full, the last part of number 4 there. Hey, that's telling me right there before she even went in that room. Come on, get with me now. Already knew that those pots was going to be full. already knew that God was going to supply her needs. I mean, she's already at the end of that rope. She's holding on that rope. She's about ready to let go of that rope. And here somebody says, don't worry about it. Get all the vessels, get all the pots, get everything you got, and God's going to fill them up. And no doubt she's saying, oh man, I believe this, but I can't. I really don't know if I'm going to believe it. We're like that sometimes, aren't we? God will give us something, we don't believe it, do we? But here it was that says, hey, look here. We're going to fill all those pots up. The lesson for God's provision that God already said to Elijah is going to take place. You know, God wants to do some things in your life, in my life. And God already knows what he's going to do. But it's that faith. In verse 6, we see the limit of God's provision. Verse 6 there it says, and it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, look at here now, folks, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Every vessel was full. But this didn't solve her problems now. We've gone all the way through here. This didn't solve her problem. They were still coming after her boys, right? They were getting ready to take her boys, right? The reason they were going to take her boys is because she had no money. But now she got a pot full of oil that she started out with, this little one. But she has got a whole room of other ones that's full. Amen? And she's thinking, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? But you know what? God's provision is not limited to our faith. Amen? We got little faith, he's going to supply what we need. We got a lot of faith, he's going to supply what we need. God's able to meet our needs, every needs. Move every mountain, solve every problem. The oil flowed until she had no more vessels. No limit on the amount of oil. Boy, that's great, ain't it? And you know what? I just thought about this. You know what? Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, amen? And God is sitting in heaven. Jesus at the right hand. Come on, get with me. And the grace and the mercy flowing from heaven down here. The Holy Spirit is moving, reaching out to lost sinners, amen. Reaching out to ones that need Jesus Christ, like you and like I and like you needed. And that oil took that old wicked vessel that was no good and just poured it in. Poured it in. Poured it in. But she still had a problem here, and I'm going to close down in 5 minutes. She still had a problem here. We see here, finally, in verse number 7, the largeness of God's provision. Verse 7 says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, get this, folks, get this. Go! Sell the oil and pay the debt and live thou and thy children on the rest. I mean, she talked about two boys, but now she talks about children. We see here that she had enough oil. Not just to keep in the house to cook, because I don't think anybody could cook that much to use on that oil, amen? But he said, go and sell. And settle your debt. I can imagine this mother, like some of the mothers in here. When somebody's going to come get your boys, you didn't have enough faith to trust in the Lord. You might have said you trusted, and we men are the same way. We're the same way. I'm not. Didn't have enough faith to trust. I mean, we ask God, God, will you take care of this? God, will you supply our needs? But in this case here, God supplied her needs. You know, when God supplies our needs, many times, folks were like those 10 leopards that got healed. And only one of them came back and thanked the Lord. I imagine this lady right here. Hey, it says here, and live thou and thy children on the rest. She had to do nothing else. I mean, all she had to do was worry about who she gonna sell that oil to. In my country mind, I'm thinking maybe those pots, as she takes that oil and comes over here and sells it and takes that pot back. Now, I might be wrong, but I want to believe it. She sets that pot down, and that little pot might be sitting close by. And by some miracle of God, he takes that oil and puts it back in that pot. So she takes the pot over here. She brings it back in. Come on, you can shout with me. And then back and forth. And she has enough oil to last forever and ever and ever. But she was at the end of a rope. She was ready to give up. She was ready to quit. She was ready to throw in the towel. But here she was. She had plenty. And tonight, I would like to say God knows our problems. God can release our potential. And God will supply our provision. God wants to help us. God wants to supply our needs. But are we willing to let Him? We might not think we have anything that will help us get off that rope. But God has. He sees tomorrow. We don't see tomorrow. He sees next week, but we don't see next week. But all we can do is take the Word of God and say, God, I'm a child of God. I've been born in family. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I got the Bible. I give it to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we come to a close this evening of this teaching hour, God, we want to thank you, Lord, that we do have stories in the Bible that we can put ourselves in and we can realize if you took care of this individual, you're going to take care of me. We thank you, Lord, for Central Baptist Church. We thank you for the ones that came out tonight. We do pray for Pastor Thrower, dear Lord, and his wife and family. God, help us realize, Lord, that we could do nothing without you. We thank you for Jesus going over the cross. We thank you, Jesus, for shedding your precious blood. And we're looking for one day, Lord, that you're going to come back and take your born-again believers out. Now we ask you, Lord, just to be with us. Yes, it's in your holy name. Amen.